Today on Maine Calling, How Not to Fall, an encore presentation. This is a treacherous time of year in Maine. Patches of ice are everywhere. It is so easy, too easy, to slip and fall. What began as a regular day can end in a serious brain injury. It happens all the time. And 6 years ago, it happened to TV anchor Kim Block, who continues to cope with repercussions of a traumatic brain injury. Kim is now involved in a campaign to keep the rest of us safe from falls. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today, we listen back to our earlier conversation with Kim and others who are experts in fall prevention, both indoors and outdoors. Learn about risk factors for falling and ways to walk safely this season and beyond. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn, and by Maine Health, where care teams provide expert, coordinated care focused on your overall wellness to help you be your healthiest self. MaineHealth.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. A fall can mean having a bumper scrape, or it can be life-changing. Today, we'll learn about the hazards of falling and what can be done to prevent serious injury from a fall. Joining me for this hour, Jason Adore, who is president and founder of Maine Strong Balance Center. He's a doctor of physical therapy. Kim Block, veteran broadcast journalist and TV anchor who is a survivor of a traumatic brain injury caused by a fall. And Mike Bork, president and CEO of MEMIC, a workers' compensation insurance company based in Portland. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you know anyone who has fallen and suffered serious harm? Welcome to all of you. And Kim, I'm going to start with you. And I'm going to start by saying happy birthday. Thank you for being here on your birthday.
Thank you, Jen. I'm delighted to spend my birthday with you and to talk about a subject near and dear to my heart as well.
Kim, I can't believe it's been 6 years since you fell on the ice, about 6 years and 2 weeks, right?
And exactly.
And that it was something that all of us have done. You're running back to your house to get your phone and you slipped right in your front yard. It wasn't an exotic place.
Exactly. No, there was no, you know, giant trauma. There was no other vehicle or person involved. It was just me, myself, and I trying to rush to work after having forgotten something. And it was one of those strange days, as you may remember, Jen, where we had had a warm up and things had melted. So, you know, I wasn't really thinking so much about ice because we hadn't had much that year, kind of like this year. But then there was a light snow falling and the temperatures had dropped, and it was just enough so that when I got at the pace I was moving to, you know, get into my front porch, the light snow was covering what turned out to be a fairly significant chunk of ice, and my feet just slipped out from under me. And what broke my fall was the back of my head. And that's kind of where I got in trouble. And I could tell when I fell, the words that came out of my mouth were, uh-oh, because just somehow I knew instinctively this was not good. This feeling of feeling my brain inside my skull kind of moving back and forth. And not to go over the whole story, because I know many people have heard it by now, but I did lay there for quite a while, not sure if I could stand up or not. And I went in and got my phone, proceeded to walk back up the yard, fell several more times, but forward. Yeah. But even so, I think at that point, even if you're falling a different way and you're not falling on your head, if your brain is rattled, it's still getting jostled. And so none of that was probably great. And then I proceeded to go in and anchor 2 hours of newscasts under the very bright lights, and the noise just kept getting louder and louder. It felt like I was under the sun, and I realized something was going on here. And that's when I went to the ER and was diagnosed with a concussion. And at that point, you know, I was told, You've seen one concussion, you've seen one concussion. And let's wait a week and see how it goes. And I waited a week and then I was referred to a specialist. And now here I am 6 years later, which I just never anticipated that I would still be recovering and having symptoms and having to have left that career that I loved so much. But I've tried during this time very much to, once I was able, and by able, there it's still quite difficult, but able enough to help talk to people about this because I, like you, probably after you do these shows, realize how many people are affected by this. Don't talk about it enough. It's not well understood. Most people think you fall down on the football field and you get back up, or you go get checked out and then you're right back in the game. And, you know, personally, I'm not sure that's such a great idea. But I don't people think many people understand that there can be really life-changing, significant repercussions of one quick fall.
Kim, I want to talk about the Walk Safe program that you and Mike are involved in. But before I do that, I have to ask you, how are you doing?
Well, thank you, Jen. I mean, a long time ago now, number of years ago, I kind of had to make a shift in how I look at my daily life and have some acceptance of what was the new me and what's a good day and what's a bad day. And what I've learned from all of this is that I'm able to do many of the things I used to do, but I need to plan around them and navigate my life so that I, if I do something like give a speech, I know it will knock me out for the next 2 or 3 days. So, you know, this is why I could never hold down a permanent job or anything like that, because I just don't know from one day to another how I'm going to feel. It depends so much on what the stimuli I've been exposed to has been like. It depends on just the level of headache. It depends on how much thought process. You know, there's a big cognitive piece to this. Thinking takes real energy. And if I'm out with other people, and I don't do that often, but that also, you know, when our brains, when we're working normally, are able to filter out most of the extraneous noise and observations and things that we don't really need, so we can kind of hone in on who we're talking to. My brain isn't able to do that as well, so it just all comes at me, you know, and so it's very hard to separate, and so it takes its toll. And it's also kind of like most people go in with a fully charged battery, and I'm already going in with, you know, a half drained battery. So I lose the steam pretty quickly. But that said, there are many things that I have done, and working on this project is one of them. It's been a goal of mine to kind of get back involved in broadcasting in a way that I could make a difference. So that's all good. I still am not able to read a book. I still, have balance issues. I do use a cane. There are a lot of things that are just really, really different, really different.
One of the reasons for doing this program today is that you're a part of a webinar next week, and we'll talk about that a little later in the program. But you're leading this campaign, and you're the spokesperson for this campaign that's being put on by MEMC. And I'm going to turn to you, Mike Bork, to ask you about this. It's a pretty simple name, Walk Safe. Why is this an important issue? Why is this an important campaign for MEMC?
Well, you've heard Kim just describe her experience, and think about that multiplied by hundreds and thousands over the years. As a workers' comp insurance company, we insure about 18,000 employers in Maine and an estimated 200,000 of their employees. They are out walking on snow, coming in from the parking lot, going out on the walkway, doing things every day in wintertime that is inherently more dangerous and can lead to exactly the kind of challenges that Kim has experienced, and many other injuries as well.
Yeah, I've read that numbers of the cost to the economy from falls is in the billions. And including
Yeah,
her
it's,
name.
I mean, you can start to multiply it out when you just sort of understand the impact on the number of people. And you know, everywhere from, I mean, there are people who die from a fall on ice, usually from a head injury, something related to a head injury, but there are knee injuries, there are ankle injuries, foot injuries. We see lots of people with neck and shoulder and back problems from the impact of something. They fall, start to fall, and then they grab to save themselves and really hurt their shoulders desperately. There are just so many ways that happen related to work, but far beyond work as well.
Jason, I want to turn to you. We've heard about Kim's story and it's falling on ice. Very important story today because it is January in Maine. I went on a walk this morning. I encountered several patches of ice and was thinking about this program as I was walking. But it is not the only cause of falls. Ice is not the only cause of falls. Tell me some of the other common things that you see. Why are other reasons that people fall?
Yeah, it's a great point. Thanks for having this conversation. Most of the falls that we see are actually happening at home, inside, so places like a bathroom or that type of thing. Falls are classically an issue for older adults, where the statistics are that, you know, one in four folks over the age of 65 will fall each year. Plenty of those people are still working. And one over two will fall over 80 each year. Not exclusively an older adult problem, but that's where a lot of the my expertise lies.
Do you see people the inside their house? Is it tripping on rugs? Is it reaching, doing one thing and reaching for something else without sort of thinking about your balance? What are you seeing? What are the stories that you hear?
Yeah, those are all really, you know, there's multiple stories. It usually has to do with the environment. The CDC has a steady toolkit, STEADI, and they've got a home safety checklist. And the things on there are the things that I really commonly see. So, for example, someone with low lighting in a particular room, or throw rugs are kind of a classic one, or even just disrepair of things like maybe an extra railing on stairs entering and exiting the home. I've heard many stories, and there's no kind of one size fits all. Each person's house has different issues.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes people don't understand the scale of this, and it's been called a public health issue. I mean that in here in Maine, one in three people over 65 will fall. Kim, you wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, I have an example of something you might not think of that happened to me in my house, and this is prior to, my most recent concussion. It was my first experience with concussion, but I had a midi length skirt on, going to work and high heels. And I was walking down my stairs and the heel got caught in the bottom of the skirt. And I just face planted, down the stairs and on the front of my head. And again, in a moment, what am I doing here on the floor? Now, that time I was also diagnosed with a mild concussion, and I had some of the same symptoms, which are photophobia, sensitivity to light, and hyperacusis, which is sensitivity to noise. But it all went away within a week or so, which is kind of what I was expecting, the second time around. But again, there's just an example of something I didn't even envision happening, but now I'm again, I don't wear heels anymore because I can't balance very well on them. But there's something that could just happen so quickly too, right inside your own home.
Mike.
Yeah, the Kim's point about footwear is hugely important, and it seems it's very basic. We all know it and understand it, but good footwear do not have heels, has good traction and holds your ankle stably when you're moving on ice, is so important. And it's such a simple thing, and so many of us hurry to something or another and just say, "Oh, I don't want to change shoes." We should take Mr. Rogers' old his entry into heart and remember: come in and change your shoes. You can change your shoes. Wear something good for the ice and snow.
Oh
And
yeah, no heels
Jason.
in the snow. This was in the summer getting ready for work. But yes, great point.
Jason, what Kim told me and just told us about having had a fall on the stairs and then having this fall on the ice, this is very common. Once you've had one fall, you're very likely to have another one, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So statistically speaking, it's one of the most powerful predictors of who's going to fall again. There's also this interplay between brain injury and concussion and falling. So the interplay is that a fall, one out of five falls will cause a serious injury like a broken bone or, brain injury. And then once you're living with something like a brain injury, that increases your risk of falls. So there's a real bi-directional relationship with those things, which is noteworthy.
I want to ask you, stay with you, Jason, for some tips. We've heard already from Mike, footwear. Wear good, solid, supportive footwear. What are some other basic tips that you'd like people to think about right now? I'm wondering if you encounter a patch of ice, is it best to sort of lean forward a little bit, shuffle your feet?
Yeah, so in terms of tips for ice specifically, my guess is Mike and Kim will have some good ideas too. The piece that comes up a lot is this walking strategy where you're changing the way that you're walking. So in a typical gait pattern or like a walking pattern, the first thing to hit the ground is the heel, and that's something we work on all the time with patients. Hit with your heel first so you're not shuffling your feet. On the ice, it's the opposite. These big steps can be problematic, and these smaller shuffling steps can be more successful. And I think that the one thing that really feels like a take home for me, in addition to maybe some other pieces that can be added, is like mindfully moving throughout the world, particularly on ice, which is not so easy to do when you're rushing. I can identify with Kim's story. In fact, I knew I was coming on this show, and just yesterday I'd forgotten something and was rushing inside and said, geez, you would think of all days I'd remember not to do that. So, being mindful is moving through the world as best we can, which no one's going to be perfect on. But that, is a very worthwhile thing to do and makes all this effort make sense to talk about it.
Great. Well, we'll have the rest of the program for some more very important tips. We do need to go to a break. We are talking about preventing falls, how to keep from falling. And I also want to talk about if you do fall, what do you do next? And Kim, anchoring two newscasts is not the answer, right?
It was probably putting my brain through, the worst possible post-fall hell I could have, honestly. Who knew? I
Well, on
do.
that note, we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. From slips on ice to tripping over furniture, falls can lead to lasting health problems. We're learning what to keep in mind to prevent falls. With me, Kim Block, veteran broadcast journalist and TV anchor, helping to educate people about fall prevention through the Walk Safe campaign. Having survived a traumatic brain injury due to a fall. Mike Bork is with us. He's president and CEO of Memic, the insurance company behind the Walk Safe campaign. And Jason Adore is a physical therapist, a doctor of physical therapy, and president and founder of Maine Strong Balance Center. On the line with us is Kirsten Dorsey, an occupational therapist, and is the national program administrator of a program called A Matter of Balance for Maine Health. Hi, Kirsten. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us about A Matter of Balance.
So, A Matter of Balance is an evidence-based fall prevention program. It's been around since the late 1990s. And A Matter of Balance is really geared to help people who have a fear of falling get over that fear of falling to help them remain more active and prevent falls.
Yeah, because that could be a catch-22, right? Can the fearfulness can prevent people from moving, which in turn makes them more likely to fall, correct?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. The fear of falling actually, it does make sense. It's reasonable to be concerned about falls, and people think, well, if I just become more sedentary, if I sit down more, then I'll be less likely to fall. However, becoming more sedentary really has associated health risks with it, which one of those is an increased risk of falling because you're a little bit more frail and you've lost those mobility skills and your muscles and bones are a little bit weaker, so that when you do have to get up and move around, you are more likely to have a fall.
Kirsten, you shared with me some statistics about the prevalence of falls, and they're really shocking. Could you repeat those now?
Sure. I think what I sent you was some information from the CDC on national falls data, which is roughly one in four older adults. People over the age of 65 have a fall each year. In Maine, we have an older population here, and our fall rate is a little higher. We're at almost one in three folks over the age of 65 have a fall each year. And falls can be really devastating. They're very expensive. They're cause a lot of pain and suffering, and they really are something that can you can have a, you know, a light bruise, or you can end up with something much more serious, like a traumatic brain injury, as Kim has been sharing, or a hip fracture or other fracture, which can take quite a long time to heal from.
Kirsten, are Matter of Balance classes statewide? Where can you find out if you've got one near you?
Yeah, great. Thank you for asking that. We have trained folks from all over the state to implement the Matter Balance program. Many of the area agencies on aging, which can be located in five different areas in the state that cover all of the counties in Maine, typically offer a Matter Balance or other evidence-based fall prevention programming. And it's a great place to start for someone who is interested in learning more about preventing falls, is to reach out to their local area agency on aging.
Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for calling in. Kirsten Dorsey, occupational therapist and national program administrator of A Matter of Balance for Maine Health. We'll start with the calls coming in from the public. And here's Joanne calling from Naples. Hi, Joanne, go ahead.
Hi, Jen, and thank you so much. This is what I proselytize more than anything else for consumer health topics. I just have some quick things to pass along regarding ice. Excuse me. I have, since I've moved back to Maine, I was a longtime Bostonian, so I know how to do ice, but I purchased a telescopic set of ski poles, and I keep one under the seat. And I cannot tell you how many times you get to a church lot or a shopping center, they either haven't plowed or there was ice and now there's snow on it. And it has saved me a few times for slip and falls. Also, the cobblestone in Portland is deadly. But also, the other thing, it's not a big expense. You can find them, even just regular ski poles, put it in your back seat. You can get them at Goodwill. And I have a decorative shoe bag, and I take my heels or whatever for church or wherever, office or wherever I'm going, and I change my shoes once I get in. Nobody wants to wear boots in church, but, you know, there are some things that you can do easily. But the other thing I wanted to point out, I was an emergency department nurse by career, but also worked in nurse surgical ICU and did a head study for a couple of years with the Department of Safety, anything regarding head injury. And it is, as your guest mentioned, amazing how deteriorating, and also Kim can attest to this, how deteriorating a head injury, it affects your whole life going forward. And I also wanted to mention the other reasons that my friends have been falling. A girlfriend had an inner ear lesion, and she didn't know about it. And she fell backwards, hit a culvert while she was doing lawn work, and now she's having a problem. Another friend broke her ankle just going out to the post box on the road to get the mail. So I want to really applaud A Matter of Balance. I went to the class. It's terrific. I also found a great help from physical therapist doing a balance evaluation. She gave me a full series of balance exercises, and there are two websites. I'm not promoting either one of them, but maybe Jason or Kristen could promote one. BobandBrad.com, the two physical therapists from Mayo Clinic, and also HT Physio, which is a UK website. They both focus on people over 50. They have a whole series of balance, how to test your balance, what exercises can improve your balance. So I really want to thank you for this program, and happy birthday, Kim.
No, thank you.
Well, Joanne, thank you for all that information. That's wonderful. And we'll look up those websites and put them in the Maine Calling newsletter. Mike, you heard her tip about keeping a ski pole or two in the car. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think there are any number of little bits of equipment that we have and can avail ourselves are. There are people that have stabilizers that you can strap onto shoes. I know L.L. Bean sells them and lots of other companies. I'm a big fan of something called a shoe called an ice bug. that has little, you can buy, I found it online. I'm a winter runner, and I had a friend who developed a concussion after falling running in winter. And these things have been lifesavers for me. I've had a pair for about 10 years, and they have little metal spikes, and they work really well on ice. And I wear them every time.
I thought it was really interesting that Joanne said, you were, Kirsten was talking about the statistics of people 65 and older, but she was talking about 50 and older. And Jason, we start to experience the world differently, probably a little earlier than we'd like to admit it, don't we?
Yeah, I think one of the questions was about the inner ear too, which is a whole other, you know, I could go on the rest of the show on that, but there's three major balance systems. You've got your vision, you've got your inner ear, and then you've got what's called your somatosensory system, which is your brain talking to your body. Each of those systems changes with aging, and it's not, we're not talking about end of life. We're talking in the third and fourth decade of life, things start changing with those systems.
An email here from John. Let's not forget walking with cell phone in face. I fell and broke my arm while texting, appropriately enough, tripping over a handicapped parking curb. So, I have a feeling at least a couple people listening have done that, been texting and walking at the same time. We'll go to Tim, who's calling from Cumberland. Hi, Tim, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for a great topic. I'm 63 years old, and about 4 years ago, I taught myself how to walk differently. A friend of mine talked about Qigong, the Chinese, it's a Chinese exercising, and in this you sort of squat slightly and bend your knees. And she talked about this Qigong walk, and I started thinking of it, and I'm an avid hiker, and I also drive an oil truck, so I'm on ice all the time and snow. And I literally, every step I took for about 2 years, I thought about every step and never locking my knees. I never lock my knees when I stand anymore. I never lock my knees when I walk. I'm always a tiny bit crouched, and that's lowered my center of gravity. So if I do trip or slip, I'm closer to the ground. My knees are way stronger. My legs are way stronger. It has changed my freaking life. And I would, that's what I wanted to tell you guys. But thanks for a great show. Thanks.
Tim, thanks for your call. Jason, what do you think of his advice?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're on certain surfaces, that makes a ton of sense in terms of changing your gait pattern. I think the one caution I would say is it's been my experience that the body was designed to kind of work at certain length and certain tensions. So if you change the way the foot's hitting the ground, you're now changing the forces up through the knee and through the back. So there's never a one size fits all, but I think that's my only caution with doing it all the time. But the mindfulness piece, I really feel like is, that's a superhuman power that he can do that all the time. But that's a big piece of it.
And thinking of mindfulness, Kim, I'm thinking about a little thing that I started doing about a decade ago. I always hold the railing when I go down the stairs. And I didn't even know that you had fallen on the stairs, but I've started to realize that that is a place often when you're going down the stairs, it's first thing in the morning, you're maybe not 100% awake, or you're on your way to somewhere, and thinking about that place you're on your way to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what it's there for. And if you're wearing your fuzzy slippers or your socks, those things can fly out from under you in a second as well. So yeah, I so agree with what Jason was saying. I've been calling it mindful motion, but it's the same thing. But it is really being conscious of how you move through the world. And that's something that I've changed dramatically in terms of just being aware of my surroundings and, you know, trying to evaluate what the environment is like, and then just be conscious of every step I take. And, you know, that's a necessity for me now. So it becomes kind of a part of your life. Does it mean I will never fall again? No. I just had a little situation the other day I told you about, Jen, but we'll save that for another show. But there's always something out there, you know, but not to live in fear. And I don't. And I mean, especially in the good weather, I'm as active as I can possibly be. But, you know, I do have difficulty still riding in cars and driving, and you know, so all of these things people don't realize can be kind of lifelong repercussions are just something I just wanted to make sure we leave this knowing that a lot of these things are preventable.
Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to go back to the earlier caller who mentioned their cell phone. And certainly anything that takes your attention away from what you're doing is one thing. But, you know, it would be hard if you had two hands on your phone, you couldn't hang on to the railing. And so carrying things is another place where lots of people have falls or try to carry too much. We try to save a trip. Just thinking consciously about what it is that you're doing, and do you need to add that one more thing, and do you need a free hand in order to be able to help yourself keep balance or to hold a railing? Simple things, but so important.
An email here from Nancy. Today's conversation with Kim Block is just so familiar. Two winters ago, as I walked down the driveway to get the newspaper, I did not see the black ice that had formed due to the warm sun the afternoon before and hidden by an early morning dusting of snow. I remember flying in the air, and a broken hip was the result. I was lucky that surgery and PT gave me back my mobility, but I am so very careful and thoughtful about whether or not I really need the morning paper. I wish Kim the best every day.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so glad she was able to recover. That sounds very similar to the circumstances I encountered.
I would say, too,
go ahead, Mike.
To add, Jen, you know, we all know when it's cold and when there's ice. And, you know, if it's 32, we think, okay, we're fine. One of the things we're trying to tell people about is to warn them that really anything below 37, there could be, the ground is colder. And so if you think, oh, it's 35, I'm fine, think again, because there's still ice on the ground. There's still ice that's been in the shade. It hasn't, the sun hasn't yet hit it to melt it. So think about those things.
An email here from Anne. My husband and I are 70 and 68. We're both in excellent health and relatively active. But at our age, I fear that sometime we take risks, not realizing that we're no longer 40 or even 50, because we do still feel young and capable. It's a challenge knowing when to rein ourselves in and when and how we can continue to embrace life as we always have. I see so many people at our age or slightly older who have lost their vigor and struggle with daily activities. How do we balance common sense with our pursuit of a joie de vivre? And Jason, I think this is really such an important question.
Yeah, this is what I feel like I spend a lot of my time, you know, talking about, because there is kind of a use it or lose it piece here, where if you're never, you know, pushing yourself physically to do things, you lose the ability to do it. But then you've got to calculate which risks are worth taking. And it's really where sort of the science meets your own personal belief systems and how conservative or aggressive you are. And again, it's really kind of an individual conversation. I would say that, you know, physical therapists are good at talking about this stuff. So I think a lot of times we are thought of sort of after the fact, rehabbing things, which is something that we do. But one of the things that's available, anybody who's noticing a change in their balance, even if they just think it's regular age related, is you can see a physical therapist to get your balance tested and talk a bit about sort of what can be done to tune it up and stay as capable as you are to reduce those vulnerabilities. And then you've got someone with a relationship who knows you that you can have those type of conversations, because it's the physical therapist doesn't know the answer. It's kind of an individual choice a lot of times.
And Jason, what do you think of certain activities that focus on balance, like yoga and Tai Chi?
Yeah, excellent. So yoga and Tai Chi are excellent. You know, you heard the term evidence-based being referred to, which means we've got science that kind of proves that they help. Those are excellent. There's a few different modes of balance exercise. You can also do just like typical static or dynamic exercises, for example, you know, standing on one foot, or there's a whole range of exercises that can be done in addition to that.
All right. Well, before we go to the next break, I want to talk about the webinar that Kim's going to lead. It's next week, January 22nd at noon. So you can listen to Main Calling and then go to the webinar. Which of you wants to talk about what it's going to be about and how to take part?
Perfect timing. What do you think, Mike? Would you like me to start or go? Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I'm so grateful to Mimic for the invitation to be a part of this, along with my old station, WGME. I've learned a lot about Mimic in doing this project, and that, you know, they're not just a workers' company. They really are concerned about prevention. And of course, you might have a cynical approach to that and say, well, sure, if they don't pay out claims, then they're everybody's doing better. But I found it's really something much, much more than this. They have, you know, whole teams devoted to safety. And, you know, it's their goal to not pay out, you know, one of these groups that would love to probably not be in business someday, but there's going to be plenty of work for them. But just wanted to make that point that they have made it so clear that this is a big part of, you know, how they operate. And so they did come up with this idea of a campaign during the winter months here to just again raise some awareness about this issue. We've been really lucky so far this winter, although I do miss the snow. I don't miss the ice, but it's going to come at some point. And this is really the most dangerous time in terms of certainly ice related falls. I know the day that I fell, there were more visits to the emergency room that day than there had been in maybe ever. I mean, we wound up doing a news story on it. You just get those right combinations and it can be really, really difficult. So in this webinar, we're going to be talking about a lot of the prevention ideas that we have for people. So, you know, they can try to be as safe as possible. We're also focusing on recovery because these things are going to happen. You know, I'm a living example of the fact that you never really fully stop recovering. I don't anticipate ever being 100% my old self, but each time I am able to do something new, I push myself to do it. And I don't let that fear get in the way of, is this going to make me regress? I want to try and push my brain. And so I think that's very important for people who have had recoveries. And believe me, my brain will tell me when I've gone too far. And we also just have a lot of good information about what dangerous situations are. And the fact that, you know, and Mike can tell you how many claims come in every year in this area. And my statistic is that once in every 9 seconds, someone will suffer a traumatic brain injury. So we are just here to raise more awareness about it, but not only that, to focus on prevention and then recovery as well.
All right. And we'll put information on our page, our webpage, the Maine Calling webpage, but it's next January 22nd at noon through CBS 13's YouTube page and Facebook page.
We have to take another call in. It is a call in.
Yeah. Yeah. As interactive. Well. Yeah. 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 We'll be right
back.
Jen. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Our topic today, preventing falls. And my guests are Mike Bork with Memic, Jason Adore with Maine Strong Balance Center, and Kim Block, broadcast journalist and TBI survivor who is active in fall prevention education and a new campaign called Walk Safe. So let's try to get to a few of those calls. We'll start with Mike in Tenants Harbor. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for having me. Pleasure as always. Kim, I feel for you because I have had that type of what I call a cartoon fall, and it's no fun at all. One of the things I discovered, even when I was just out ice fishing, was the little crampons that you put on your feet. They have like little spikes on them and stuff. We buy spikes for our tires. We might as well have them for our feet. And that has saved me many, many falls. But the other thing with that, the most dangerous place in the home is the bathtub. And a lot of people don't think about how slippery that is when it's wet. So if we put some of those stick-on flowers or whatever it is in the bottom of the bathtub, that can prevent a lot of falls and a heck of a lot of injuries.
Mike, thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, Mike Bork had mentioned the shoes that he really likes, the ice bugs, a similar concept to the crampons. Before we take some more calls, I want to turn to you, Jason. We're hearing what we can do to prevent falls, and we're hearing how serious they are. If you do have a fall, How important is it to get looked at right away and not do what Kim did? And I'm not saying that to shame you, Kim, but
no.
Not just do that thing that you had committed to do next, but rather stop and go see somebody, go to the urgent care or the ER, or at least contact someone you love to be with you.
Yeah, I think it's critically important. You know, most of the time people are okay, you know, but there can be all sorts of injuries, including even things like small bleeds that aren't obvious right away. And we always recommend somebody check in with their physician team immediately just to make sure that everything's okay. And then secondarily, there may be reasons that someone fell that are treatable. And if that's the case, we want to treat them before the next one happens.
All right. Kim, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, in hindsight, I definitely would have taken myself to the ER or gotten someone to take me. But Jen, you've been in the news business. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was already late to work. I had a 5 and a 6 and a 7 o'clock show to anchor. And, you know, pulling up the stakes at that last minute, I just couldn't bear to do that to anybody. And, you know, I didn't really realize, as most people will say, the severity of my injury. It is something that got progressively more obvious as the hours went on. And in fact, I didn't do that 7 o'clock show. I got my husband to come get me at that point. But then it wasn't until the next day and the day after that and the following week that I really knew I was in trouble. So sometimes you don't know right away. The temptation is certainly to keep going with what you're doing, but your brain is going to need rest, especially whatever part of your body is hurt is going to need rest, you know?
Yeah, no, I Kim, not as serious as you, but when I was a young reporter, I fell and went to work like you did. And was sent to cover a parade. I believe it was a Veterans Day parade. And instead of covering it straight, all of a sudden found myself sobbing through it because for some reason, my brain just thought that was very, very, very moving. We're going to go to Susan calling from Stonington. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Dizziness and weakness were both mentioned as precipitating falls, and I'm a retired geriatrician. And one thing I wanted to comment on is that a great many prescription and over-the-counter medications can have the side effect of dizziness and weakness, and it would be wise for anybody to have their physician or their provider look at the medications. And in particular, there are a lot of over-the-counter cold medicines and flu medicines and sleep medicines that people generally don't tell their doctors about. And when they get asked about medications, they only tell about the prescription ones. And those are often the biggest culprits.
Mm-hmm. Susan, I'm so glad you called. Such an important point. And Jason, I'm guessing you'd like to add to that.
I think she's got it. I think, you know, medications are a big category. Even taking, you know, more than 4 or 5 medications, even if they seem benign, can play off of one another. So it's a big deal and a good, great comment.
Susan, thank you for calling in. We will go to Skowhegan and Miley. Hi, Miley. Go ahead.
Hi. I've collected the small laundry detergent plastic jugs and filled them with sand and given them to friends. And you keep it in your car and don't put it in the back. Put it in the front so you don't have to get out and slip and get it. So that's very handy. So you can just open your door and spread sand before you as you go.
That's a
great tip, Miley. And I like how you said keep it in the front seat, because earlier a caller had talked about having some sort of walking stick, whether it's a ski pole or a cane. And it doesn't really help if that's in the way back of the car, right? Because you got to get out of the car to walk around to the back. Jason.
Yeah, I might just add Many of the towns and cities in the area have an age-friendly committee, and a lot of those committees know about the resources in the area. And it's likely, for example, in South Portland, there we have a bucket system where Public Works will actually bring a bucket of sand out to you, so you can, it can be delivered, so to speak. So if that's a strategy you'd like to try, there may be infrastructure in your town to get things to you, and that's another great way. It's a great comment. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you, Miley. We're going to go to Margaret calling from Eastport. Hi, Margaret, go ahead.
Hi. I'm observing in Eastport a rash of people who are very physically fit and athletic in their 60s and 70s who have been falling playing pickleball and breaking their hands and their wrists. Is this something peculiar to Eastport?
Oh, I don't think so, Mike. Talk to us
I
about
have,
pickleball.
yeah, I can't tell you much about pickleball, but I did hear from somebody recently who had a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon. He says that pickleball has kept them in business. I think there's been, I think a lot of us, it can be a wonderful activity. And I think sometimes the competitive juices get the best of people and they get a little carried away.
Yeah, I also know someone who is badly injured playing pickleball. Margaret, thank you so much for that call. We'll go to Keyser Falls and Ruth. Hi, Ruth, go ahead.
Hi, Jen. Several years ago, I was out cross-country skiing, and it was a fast track. It was icy. I would not recommend it. I did a backflip, landed on the back of my head, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing stars in the sky in the middle of the day, which should have told me something was off. So days go by, I'm getting a headache, and then I'm getting nauseous, and then I'm getting kind of off balance, and I'm bowling on the ladies' league. 3 days after the concussion, I see a doctor on Thursday. He said, "Have you hit your head?" I said, "Oh yeah, back of the head." He said, "You've been walking around with a concussion, post-concussion syndrome for 3 days." Didn't even know it, and I was okay. I never slowed down. I kept on it going. He says, "You were lucky. It wasn't bad." But my advice is if you're going to go skiing, make sure it's not icy because you're cruising for a reason. So I learned my lesson the hard way, let's put it that way. So it took me a good, at least a couple of weeks before I got over it. And then last year I did a face plant. And so I knew the very next day it was concussion because I recognized the nausea that set in immediately. So I went to a doctor immediately then. So my word of advice is, like the senator, don't wait to go to a doctor. When symptoms appear, go and get checked out. Simple as that, or you might not be so good. So I just wanted to give that word of advice, that's all. And
Ruth,
happy birthday, Kim.
thank you so much, Ruth. You take care.
Thank you, Ruth. An email from Kim. You may have talked about this already. If not, I recently read an AARP article about a common cause of falls being the use of progressive lenses, especially when going downstairs, but also in general due to a lessened ability to navigate depth perception. Seems logical and something to be aware of. Jason, have you seen this?
Yeah, I think vision is a big part of this, and that makes sense. On the converse side, folks who've gotten cataracts repaired typically have a reduced chance of falls. So depending on the intervention, it may help or hurt, but it's worth considering.
Kim.
Well, Jen, I just wanted to say that's so true. I'm wearing my progressive glasses only because I'm trying to look like a grown up with all of you. But I have had a lot of visits with a neurooptometrist, and what I normally wear are these, and they're blue glasses with blue lenses that help cut down on the glare of the light. I have to wear, unfortunately, I can't wear the progressives as well because they do make me nauseous with the brain trying to see three different prescriptions. So I have distance and I have reading. So I'm usually walking around with at least three or four pairs of glasses changing all
Oh
day.
my goodness.
And
And it
I do prefer these, and I've, given up. You give up a lot of vanity when something like this happens,
I don't know, Kim. I think you look a little bit like a rock star in those. So people can't see him, but
A
we're going to
little
try
bit
to
Bono.
squeeze in one more call. We're going to go to Len from Liberty. Hi, Len, go ahead. Len, can you hear me? Well, I think that Len wanted to ask, and I'll turn to you, Jason. We do have very little time, but any advice on how to fall or land?
Yeah, so there's limited evidence on how to do this because most of the studies were done with graduate students on force plates and things like this. The typical advice is to try to roll with the fall. So for example, if you're falling backwards, if you can tuck your chin and maybe bend your knees and roll, or if you're falling forwards instead of hitting with the outstretched arms, but bending your arms and rolling with it, this is something that's really tough to pull off. The fall happens really fast, but I can say anecdotally that we've done some education with patients on this who have reported back they've been able to deploy those strategies. So perhaps just hearing that will help somebody despite the limitations.
All right. I'm so glad we have time. I want to read this email from Carla. She writes, Linus Pauling, the very famous chemist, biochemist, chemical engineer, and only person to have won two unshared Nobel Prizes, is quoted to have said, surprisingly, that the one secret to a long life is to always hold the railing. So that's a great quote to end this program with. I so appreciate all of you for being with us for the hour. Kim Block, veteran TV anchor, survivor of a traumatic brain injury and birthday girl. Jason Adore is president and founder of Maine Strong Balance Center. And Mike Bork is president and CEO of MEMIC. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can find our past shows and sign up for our newsletter at mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.